Welcome to The War from Boise, Idaho. This is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, send it to me, box13 at greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter, Radio Detectives, and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/radiodetectives. Well, before we do get started, I do want to let you know that this program is brought to you by the financial support of our listeners. And I particularly want to thank Nancy and John for their support. We'll send access to the premium site, as we do with all donations of $7 or more. Plus, if we receive a donation during our listener support campaign, we'll send an additional thank you gift. Among the options that we have available are the Colonial Radio Theater programs, which are produced, modern radio dramas produced in the United States. And among the options available, we have the Father Brown Mysteries, which John requested. They've got 6 volumes of that, 5 different, Perry Mason, novels adapted into full-length radio dramas, as well as radio dramas featuring Zorro, and then there's Gettysburg, and a very thorough adaptation of Ray Bradbury's The Martian Chronicles. So many great options, and not just from Colonial Theater, but from other companies. You can check them all out at support.greatdetectives.net. Well, it's time now for us to continue on with The Curse of Kamishek Matter, Parts 3 and 4.
From Hollywood, it's time now for...
Johnny Dollar.
Operator at the Explorers Club.
Oh, good. Have you been able
Sorry, Mr. Dollar, but I haven't been able to reach Mr. Donald Cronin for you.
Well, hasn't he been there at all?
He was in and out all morning, but he refused to answer any calls then. Since you first telephoned, he hasn't been back.
Well, do you know when he will be back?
No, I don't, sir.
All right, then leave a message. I'll meet him there at the club.
Is it very important that you see him, Mr. Dollar?
It's important that I keep him from being murdered.
Tonight, and every weekday night, Bob Bailey in the transcribed adventures of the man with the action-packed expense account, America's fabulous freelance insurance investigator...
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar. From Special Investigator Johnny Dollar to Inter-Allied Life Insurance Company, Crutchfield Square, Hartford, Connecticut. Assignment, The Curse of Kamishek Matter. Expense account continued. Item 6, $9.80, train to New York, quick lunch and taxi to the Traders Bank and Trust Company. There I picked up the American Express traveler's checks that Eric Turnbull had left in my name, had left for expense money to take me to Egypt, to make sure his nephew Donald Cronin lived safely through an expedition to open the grave of the ancient pharaoh Kamishek. The bank teller's brief remark gave me something to think about.
I'll sign, Mr. Dollar?
Yep.
Yes, now, let me check the amount for you just once more.
All right.
1,000, 2,000, 3,500, 4, 45, 47, 48, and $5,000 even. Yes, here you are.
Good, thanks.
And as I'm sure Mr. Turnbull knows, this will close out this particular account completely.
I thought about that remark a little later when it began to tie in with some other things I learned. Right now, item 780 cents cab fare to the Explorers Club. Donald had not yet returned, so I left another message for him, asking him to sit tight until he heard from me. And I meant sit tight. Because apparently, after the latest argument with his Uncle Eric, he was quite likely to hop off to Egypt on short notice. This I didn't want. As a matter of fact, at this point, I wasn't sure I approved of his expedition at all. Both his uncle and his girlfriend, Dorothy Harkness, had told me they thought his life was in danger. And each accused the other of plotting his murder. I was about to leave the Explorers Club when I was buttonholed by a short, kind of cute-looking old character in Gray striped suit, Tattersall vest, spats, believe it or not, and all but a monocle.
I say there, old man.
Yes?
If you'll pardon me, I believe I overheard you inquiring at the desk for Donald Cronin, didn't I?
Oh, yes. Do you know him? Oh,
I most certainly do. But excuse me, I'm Percival Thronghurst Scatterday.
Mr. Scatterday, I'm Johnny Dollar.
Oh, yes. Donald told me that he'd met you at his home. Tell me, do you plan to accompany him on the expedition to Thebes?
Well, yes.
Excellent. It should result, you know, in one of the most important archaeological finds of the century. Think of it. The tomb of Kamashek.
Yes. Do you know where Donald is now?
Treasures, artifacts, and that should put to shame the ones that were excavated from the tomb of Tutankhamun.
Yes, I'm sure it will, but now...
If history has told us the truth about Kamashek, 18th dynasty, I believe.
Now, that I wouldn't know. But now, Mr. Scatterday, it's important that I reach Donald Cronin just as soon as...
No. Now that I think of it, Kamashek was 12th dynasty.
Now, Mr. Scatterday,
But he couldn't be, because that was the era... Oh, yes, I remember now. It was the 18th, the same period in which the great temple of Queen Hatshepsut was erected at Deir el-Bahari at Thebes, of course. You've seen that, of course.
No, I haven't.
Oh, magnificent, enthralling.
Now, look here, sir.
But now, Mr. Dollar...
I've got to reach Donald Cronin, so if you'll excuse me...
Mr. Dollar, please, you say you are going with Donald. You do know about the curse of Kamashek. Or do you?
Yes, I've heard of it.
Oh, then you'll certainly arrange not to be present at the opening of the sarcophagus.
Why?
Well, as I'm certain you know, all the preliminary work has been accomplished by the advance party, of course.
So I understand.
The antechamber of the tomb was opened over a month ago.
So?
Well, it simply means that as soon as Donald arrives, they will penetrate to the sepulchral chamber and the sarcophagus itself.
Well?
Mr. Dollar. It was engraved on the stone slab, barring the way to the last chamber, Mantak Ko Fore El, and so on.
Oh, what's that supposed to be?
The warning, my boy, the warning, that whosoever violate the tomb and desecrate the body of the noble pharaoh by contact therewith shall quickly die.
You don't believe in those things, do you?
Mr. Dollar.
As I always understood it, those warnings were just put there to discourage thieves from robbing those old tombs.
Mr. Dollar, I only ask that you remember what happened to those who violated the tomb of Tutankhamun.
Oh, well, couldn't the deaths of the people who entered that tomb be due simply to coincidence? Or rather, things, circumstances, quite apart from their having done so?
Of course they could, but were they? Mr. Dollar, I assure you that if it were not for the warning of the curse of Kamashek, I would be the first to want to enter that tomb. Instead, I have refused to go on the expedition at all. Take care of Donald.
Well, that's what I'm being hired to do.
And of yourself, sir.
Yeah, sure. Now, sorry, but I'm anxious to reach Donald, and you say you've seen him here at the club?
Yes, only last evening. He was here making some of his final preparations.
Well, do you know where he is now?
Yes.
Well, where?
At his uncle's place in Stamford, Connecticut.
You're sure?
As sure as I am that you've not heeded my warning about the curse of Kamashek. But I beg you, Mr. Dollar, for the welfare of Donald Cronin and yourself.
Yeah, sure. Thanks. If this were a mystery story instead of an accounting of expenditures on a case, I'd tag Percy Scatterday as a prime suspect for whatever might happen later. Like the man who tries to throw you off his own trail by suggesting that somebody else is gunning for you. But I decided he was just an old fogey who'd been turned down on the Kamashek expedition, was trying to justify his own shortcomings with the tales about the curse. But you know something? I was wrong. I should have listened to him a little more understandingly. Item 8, 75 cents, taxi to the office of Harrison and Dillman and Company to see David Wilt, the man Eric Turnbull had named as his stockbroker. The reason? The remark the bank teller had made about closing out an account. As it turned out, my timing was perfect.
Sit down, sir, sit down. I'll be with you just as soon as I finish this phone call.
Oh, sure, thanks.
Hello. I'm sorry to have kept you waiting, but someone just stepped into my office.
If you'd rather be left alone, I'll...
No, it's all right. Now, as I started to say, if you dispose of the gold metal mining stock, your holdings will be reduced to practically nothing. Yes, that's right. Well, but Mr.
Look, you're sure you wouldn't rather I come back another time?
Very well. It's just that I hate to see what was once a very strong investment program. Very well, Mr. Turnbull, if you insist.
Turnbull?
Yes. Goodbye. Now, sir.
Eric Turnbull, Mr. Wilt?
Yes, but... Now, just a minute, sir. It was very remiss of me to mention a client's name in front of you, at least under the circumstances. Whatever I may have said on the phone just now was quite confidential.
Yeah, I'm sure it was.
I can only ask that you discreetly forget anything you may have heard.
Not by a long shot.
What's this?
Who are you, sir? Dollar, I believe the receptionist said.
That's right, Johnny Dollar, insurance investigator. And that conversation told me just what I came here to try to charm you into telling me.
Mr. Dollar, please remember this. That was entirely confidential. None of your business.
Here, my credentials.
Yeah? Well?
Now, you remember something. So far as Eric Turnbull is concerned, my coming here is entirely confidential. None of his business. Goodbye, Mr. Wilt. So the wealthy Eric Turnbull wasn't so wealthy after all. Big investments in the stock market, he'd said. But they didn't look so big anymore. And the closing out of bank accounts. Item 930 cents, phone call to Dorothy Harkness.
Yes, Mr. Dollar?
I just called to tell you, Dorothy, that if it'll be any satisfaction to you, I'm going to make the trip to Egypt.
Oh, thank heaven. Then Donald will have some protection against the machinations of his uncle.
Oh, gal, that sounds like a line out of an old melodrama.
I know you don't believe me, Mr. Dollar, but I'm so sure that Eric Turnbull is plotting against Donald's life.
You know something? I'm beginning to feel a little that way, too.
Then you did believe me. In spite of the way you poo-pooed everything I said, are you and Donald leaving together?
I can't seem to find him. Do you know where he is?
Have you tried the Explorer's
Club? No, not there.
Well, he'll surely call me before he leaves.
Well, if he does, have him get in touch with me.
Where, Mr. Dollar?
Right now, I'm going out to Eric Turnbull's house. After that, I'll be back in Hartford. Item 10, $7 even, train fare back to Stamford and taxi to the Turnbull residence, in the hope that there I would find Donald Cronin, the real principal in this case, and the one person I hadn't yet talked to. But it was Eric Turnbull who met me at the door.
Mr. Dollar, I'm glad to see you. Come in, come in. Have you seen my nephew Donald?
Well, no. Isn't he here?
No, nor is he at the Explorers Club. I've called him several times. I'm worried about him in his present frame of mind.
I'm worried about him too, Mr. Turnbull, but not for the same reason.
Because of that girl, Dorothy Harkness. Here, sit down.
No, that isn't what I meant.
In his present frame of mind, he's likely to jump off on his flight to Egypt without... Look here. I wonder if he's with her.
No, that much I do know.
Oh, I wish to heaven he would call if anything happens to
him. If anything happens to him, you'd love it, wouldn't you?
What? What did you say?
I've done a little checking up on you, Mr. Turnbull, since I last talked to you.
What do you mean?
In a case as involved as this, it's necessary to check all the angles. Everything, everyone, even the man who hires you.
Has that girl been poisoning your mind against me, too?
Your banker, from whom I picked up the American Express checks, let it slip that your account is in pretty bad shape. Non-existent now, as a matter of fact.
Go on, Mr. Dollar.
And your stockbroker, quite inadvertently, made it all too plain that the big investments you told me about aren't so big after all.
Mr. Dollar...
All right, tie that in with the fact that if anything does happen to Donald, you'll come into his estate.
You've said enough.
But it's true, isn't it? You laid so much stress on Dorothy and the museum getting his $100,000 life insurance, but you're the one who would really benefit by his death.
Dollar, you have talked with one banker, with one stockbroker. Why, in your snooping around, didn't you talk with the others who hold my accounts?
Like who?
Like... That's none of your business. But if what you are implying were true, why in heaven's name would I ever ask you to come in and protect my nephew?
As a cover-up?
I should knock you down with my bare fists, and believe me, my boy, I could do it. Now listen to me.
I'm listening.
If I didn't have any money, how could I afford to give you the $5,000 in expense money, pay whatever other costs may be involved in your employment? And why do you suppose, in spite of this high-handed attitude of yours, I'm still begging you to stay on this case? See Donald, Mr. Dollar. Talk with him. You'll find that in spite of the angry scene between us, I'm concerned only with his welfare. That I want to protect him. That I want you to protect him. Wait, wait. That's Donald.
Now, let me take it.
Well, now, just a minute.
Johnny Dollar.
Oh, Mr. Dollar. I was calling Mr. Turnbull.
Mr. Scannady?
Yes, at the Explorers Club. Mr. Dollar, I've just talked to a couple of fellow members who saw him off.
Saw him? Donald Cronin?
Yes, last night. His plane has probably reached Cairo by now. Fooled all of us, didn't he?
Yeah. Thanks.
Well, thought you'd want to...
Well?
Donald left for Egypt last night.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes.
Then please. Please, I beg of you, go. In heaven's name, go to him. Stay with him. Protect him.
For a long moment, Eric Turnbull simply stood there, sobbing. Pleading with his tear-filled eyes. And suddenly, I don't know why, I found that I believed him. I wish now that he'd been lying. Two lives might have been saved. Honey, Dollar.
Have you found Donald yet, Mr. Dollar? Have you been... Oh, this is Dorothy Hargman.
Yeah, I know. And no, I haven't found Donald Cronin.
He wasn't at his uncle's place? Johnny, you must find him. Talk to him. Talk him out of making the trip to Egypt.
Dorothy.
If he does, he'll die. His uncle will see to it that he dies.
Look, Dorothy.
You must find him and stop him.
I'm afraid it's a little late for that.
What?
He took off on a direct flight to Egypt early yesterday.
Oh, no.
Has at least a 36-hour start, at least.
Johnny, you must go after him.
On the first plane I can get to Cairo. From Special Investigator Johnny Dollar to Inter-Allied Life Insurance Company, Crutchfield Square, Hartford, Connecticut. Assignment, the Curse of Kamashek Matter. Expense account continued. Item 10, taxi, train to New York, and cab to the airport, $9.45. Item 11, round trip plane fare to Cairo, Egypt, $1,305. I was tired, and the steady drone of the four powerful engines lulled me to sleep in no time. I think I might have slept most of the way to Paris, which was to be our first stop, except for hunger pangs and the appropriate ministrations of a very attractive stewardess. Usually on such a long flight, I try to make friends with everybody aboard, just to shorten the trip. And I did this time, except for one man, who sat four or five seats behind me. He was a rather hefty individual, dark-complexioned, about 30, I'd guess, who didn't budge from his seat during the entire flight. And every time I approached him to pass the time of day, he immediately made like he was asleep. So he wanted to be alone. But when I settled down into my seat, next to a lovely petite brunette named Carolyn, who was... Now, that's beside the point, except for purely personal reasons that I'll pursue further when I get back to the States. The point is that in primping a bit and replenishing her lipstick, she held up a small mirror compact. And reflected in it, I could see that the dark-complexioned man was not only quite wide awake, but watching me every second of the ride. In a rather strange way, too. Concentrated. Like you'd watch a fly you're planning to swat. Then every time I'd turn around, he'd promptly shut his eyes and feign sleep again. Finally, it was early evening, we sat down at Le Bourget, the airport on the outskirts of Paris. Since this was Carolyn's destination, during the short layover, I helped her get her baggage and extracted the promise of a date in New York when she returned in the fall. Yeah, I guess Paris does it to you. Well, anyhow, after she piled into a taxi, I wandered around for a bit thinking and decided to reboard the plane, look up the dark, silent passenger, and have it out with him. But apparently I'd waited too long. As I passed a narrow sort of alley beside a baggage shed, he decided to have it out with me.
In here, Dollar, quick.
Huh? What?
In here, where we won't be seen.
Oh, now, just a minute, fella. Who are you? What do you want?
Just this.
What? You? You don't. All right, now. Now, what was the big idea, mister? You gonna talk, or do you want some more of this?
All right. All right, I'll talk.
Well, who put you up to this? Come on, come on.
No, I can't tell you that.
You want to bet? All right, now start talking. I said...
All right, I'll talk. It was Turnbull.
What? Turnbull?
Yeah, that's right. Frederick Turnbull.
Why?
Oh, should I know? I do a lot of strong arm for him.
Go on.
So he pays me good to get you out of the way, so I should ask questions?
Well, maybe he'll have a few to ask you if you ever get back to the States. Now, roll over.
Huh? No. Hey.
All right.
Yeah, hey, what are you doing? That's my passport.
That's right, mister. That's exactly what it was. When you get back on your feet, you can try to figure out how to go on from here without it.
Listen, you're dirty...
Sorry, buddy. I gotta catch a flight. I suppose I should have turned the unfriendly thug over to the French police, but figured he'd have trouble enough lacking a passport to keep him out of my way for a while. The only charges I could make against him would be for assault. Time was of the essence, too. Since Donald Cronin actually was 2 days ahead of me, and it was important that I join him at the tomb of Kamashek as soon as possible. At least so I thought. Until I entered the main building of the airport again and heard my name being called on the PA system. The information desk showed me where to take a transatlantic phone call. Johnny Dollar.
Dollar, this is Eric Turnbull.
Well, well.
Thank goodness I was able to reach you during your Paris stopover.
I'm glad you did, Mr. Turnbull, because there are a couple of things I want to talk to you about.
When you return, Mr. Dollar...
What's the matter with right now?
And may I suggest that you take the first plane back here that you can get?
First, I want a little explanation for a beating I just took from... Wait a minute. What did you say?
Come back here and we'll settle our accounts. The case is closed.
What?
Donald is dead.
Where? How?
I just received word from one of the members of the expedition.
In Egypt?
Yes, the curse of Kavashek has been fulfilled.
Or was he murdered?
I'm afraid it was the same mysterious death that's overtaken so many who have violated those old tombs.
Well, I don't believe it. Any more than you believe in that so-called curse the last time I talked to you.
I know. I was wrong. Heaven forgive me for letting the boy go.
Look, Mr. Turnbull, things just don't make sense at all.
Come back, Mr. Dollar, and we'll talk about it here.
Listen to me.
Yes?
Before I decide what I'm going to do, I want to know why you hired a thug to try to put me out of the picture.
What? I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, you don't. Well, he made it plenty plain that he's handled strong-arm jobs for you before.
That's impossible.
Gave me your name as the man who's hired him many times. Frederick Turn... Whoa. Hold it a minute.
Dollar, I'm very sorry, but I haven't the least...
Maybe time. I will go back to New York at that.
Mr. Dollar!
It suddenly dawned on me that I must have been slightly befuddled by the partial beating I'd taken earlier. You know, when the thug made his little confession a few minutes before.
I'll talk. It was Turnblow hired me. Frederick Turnblow.
Frederick Turnblow, he'd said, instead of Eric Turnbull. Sure, they sound alike. But a guy who's done a lot of strong-arm jobs, knows the guy, the right name of the guy that hired him, that can mean only one thing. Someone had instructed that thug to say he'd been hired by Turnbull. But who? I canceled out the rest of my flight to Cairo, made reservations back to New York, and then while waiting for that plane, ran up item 13, $82 American. On phone calls to whomever I could dig up among the Egyptian government authorities who'd been overseeing the excavation of Kamashek's tomb. What little I learned was pretty much summed up by the British doctor who'd been a member of the expedition.
Very mysterious, Mr. Dollar. You see, because of the superstition about violating the tomb, only two of our people even touched any of the bones we found within it.
Yeah?
And incidentally, that is all we found. The tomb had been thoroughly ransacked by thieves, well, probably centuries ago.
Yeah, but you were saying, Doctor.
Oh, yes. Only two touched any of the remains. One was a native carrier, as soon as the bones had been properly sprayed with a preservative.
Uh-huh.
And the other was Donald Cronin, who, for some reason or other, wrapped up the bones and sent them by air to his uncle, Mr. Eric Turnbull in the United States.
Oh. Well, go on.
Well, that's really all, Mr. Dollar. Except, of course, that both of them have died of some strange malady that the authorities have not been able to determine. And that's why the tomb has been officially closed again.
Hey, listen, tell me something. Could the bones have been accessible to anyone before those two touched them?
Yes, to anyone in the party. Well, now, don't tell me that you suspect...
Oh, listen, mister, I don't know what I suspect. But I don't believe it was any curse of a long-dead pharaoh that killed those two men.
What happened to those who entered the tomb of Tutankhamun for some years ago, and then the tomb of King...
Look, tell me this, will you? Have any of the expedition returned to America?
Well, of course, the authorities have here no reason for holding them.
You haven't answered my question.
No. Well, only the two young men that Donald brought along with him...
Who are they?
Carl Fortina.
Well, who's he?
From New York. Like Donald himself, he's an archaeologist.
And the other?
One of his colleagues at the museum in, I believe it's in Stamford.
What's his name?
He's a young osteological expert, son of a curator at the museum, as I recall.
What?
His name is Walter Harkness.
Well, I'll be.
But surely you don't think...
Doctor, you go right ahead and hang those two deaths on good old King Kamashek. Me? I'm going after a couple of live suspects. There was plenty of time before the New York plane for a quick look for my heavy-handed pal in the alley where I'd left him. But he'd either crawled away or been picked up by the gendarmes, and I didn't have time for a session with them. Item 14, $150 for some food. Then aboard the plane and we took off. Ah, it was a rough case to figure. Actually, of course, the insurance angle was done and over with. had ended with Donald Cronin's death. And two people would benefit by his death, both of them number one suspects. One, his uncle, Eric Turnbull, who would now take over the $1 million estate. The other, Dorothy Harkness, who would gain a big chunk of life insurance money, along with a museum, of course, that her father... Who hold everything? Her father, Adam Harkness, who opposed her marriage to Donald, who looked on him simply as a source of income for the museum, who... Hold everything is right. There was the son, too, Walter Harkness, who ducked back to the States the minute Donald died. How did he fit into this? Believe me, in spite of all the talk in it, the belief in it, the one thing I was sure had nothing to do with the whole matter was the curse of Kamashek. Nevertheless, call it hunch or whatever you like, the more I thought about it, the more certain I became that I'd find all the answers in a package that Donald had mailed back to the States. A package containing the bones of Pharaoh Kamashek.
Mr. Dollar.
Hello, Haskins. Mr. Turnbull, then?
Yes, and I'm sure he wishes to see you. It's a frightful thing about Master Donald, isn't it, sir?
And how does Mr. Turnbull feel about it?
Terribly broken up, sir.
I'll bet.
Oh, but please come in. He's in the library.
Thanks.
He just received a package the poor boy sent to him before he...
Wait, Haskins. Has he opened it yet?
He was examining the contents when the doorbell... Good heavens.
Mr. Turnbull...
He's fallen from his chair, Mr. Dollar. Mr. Dollar, he's... Oh, no.
Yeah, Haskins. He's dead.
Now here's our star to tell you about the final episode of this week's story.
Before I do, please let me thank you for the letters you keep sending us about the program. So many come in every day that it's become quite a chore to answer them, but you know something? I love it. As a matter of fact, your letters are appreciated by all of us who are involved in the production and presentation of the show. Our director, the writers, the various members of our cast, and our excellent technical crew. So please don't stop. Tomorrow, the wind-up. And a sorry example of what the lust for money can sometimes do to nice people. Join us, won't you? Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Truly, Johnny Dollar, starring Bob Bailey, is transcribed in Hollywood. It is produced and directed by Jack Johnstone, who also wrote this week's story. Be sure to join us tomorrow night, same time and station, for the next exciting episode of Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar. Roy Rowan speaking.
Welcome back. I kind of wish Johnny would have called and urged his employer to not open the package since his son had died from it. It seems like a common sense thing, but then again, this one I'm little bit nervous about how it'll turn out. Yeah, the first three parts, I think, were particularly interesting. This last part has taken some odd turns. And we'll have to see how part five goes, because I know that Jack Johnstone does seem to struggle with fifth parts. We'll have to see how this turns out in part five. I've got an idea, I think in some cases the death of Eric makes this a whole lot simpler, but we'll see what Jack Johnstone has for us. All right, well, before we go, I do encourage you to support the show at support.greatdetectives.net. Among the thank you gifts we have are copies of the Who is Johnny Dollar Matter. It's a great three-volume collection where various analysis of the show are done, plus complete program logs, as well as details on some programs that are lost. So if you're curious about what happened and what some of these episodes that we have titles for but no actual program, the Who is Johnny Dollar Matter really will give you a lot of great information. Volume 1 talks about the pre-Bailey shows, Volume 2 talks about the Bailey shows, and Volume 3 talks about the post-Bailey shows. I'll send you your choice of the three volumes for a donation of $100 or more, or I'll send all three volumes for a donation of $250 or more for listeners in the U.S. and Canada. And you just need to support the show, support.greatdetectives.net. Again, we have a lot of other options there, so I'll be sure and check them all out. Well, if you have a comment, send it to me, box 13 at greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter, Radio Detectives, and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/Radio Detectives. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.